I'm so happy. I can have cats again. It's been a year, man. Thought I was allergic. But I'm not.
Trigger warning. This is the Trigger Wings, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above feline level and intergalactic of the Prairie Studios. To alter locus aurelius by warning your synapses to rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 383 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sinful sadism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Lisa? Is it working, yes. Michael's one barely functional lung? Is it working? Is it working, Jeremy?
Oh, it's working.
Is it working, Jeremy, who one of my neighbors called the vet on the show?
Thank a vet.
By Kensington standards, you are indeed a veterinarian.
Well, by libertarian standards, you are too. I mean, who needs licensure? You know more than a vet. You can save a dog's life.
The freedom fiends. The freedom fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anybody except governments, government agents, and Joe Biden. Freedom Fiends also remind you that Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Donald Trump is a liar, a socialist, and his toupee smells like grilled meat and what was the other thing? I know Bernie Sanders smells like mothballs, but he's out. And we know that Ted Cruz is a liar, a socialist, Ooh. And looks like every closeted gay church choir director.
Oh yeah.
But,
at my boarding school, we had a closeted gay choir director, and I was in the choir. Shocker. I was in all the choirs when I was a kid, man. I was in the all state choir. I was good.
The punk rock choir.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was the boy choir school in New Jersey, and oh man, they were piddling those kids left and right. Good gravy. Oh. It made Catholicism look like Lutheranism.
Wow.
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 Well, I grew up Lutheran, and I can tell you that the only reason that there's not molestation in a Lutheran church is because, like, that would be too
like
exciting. No, it would break up the boredom, and they don't want to experience. They don't want the kids to experience the thrill of a molestation because say what you want about it, it's not boring.
Wow.
And those Lutherans got to keep those kids bored 100% of the time. Otherwise, they'll never fill their need for more Lutheran pastors.
And there'll never be a market for more Lutefisk.
Yeah,
Lutefisk.
This is a show about Lutefisk markets.
Fist that's cooked in lye. That just sounds like a way to kill somebody. But it's the Minnesota treat.
Yeah, this is independently verified. This isn't like a gig that Michael and I worked out in front of the show. This is what people actually eat.
Yeah. I first shot dope in 1936. It wasn't even heroin. It was opium. And we just returned from a couple of years on the boxcars. And I was at this hobo camp, and this guy came up with some opium, and we cooked it over a candle, over some Sterno that we were drinking. And we didn't even have a syringe. We just had a razor blade and we had a straight razor and an eyedropper. And you just cut a little hole in your vein and stick the eyedropper in there and shove some melted opium in. And I just knew I was home. And I spent the next 40 years shooting heroin. That is an actual almost verbatim transcript. This is the Freedom Fiends. If you'd like a transcript of this show, please send $5. You remember that? They used to say that on TV.
Yeah.
Are you old enough for that?
All the time.
Anybody? Send a dollar or $2.
Every show.
Yeah.
Mostly news and informational shows, but yeah.
Yeah. If you want a transcript of this show, send me $40 and I'll use Dragon Dictate to sort of halfway do it for you. It won't really be right, but it'll be close. So, that was
recitation. Look how well the market has gone.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
No, I'm just
We're
just
crossing
say,
streams here, Steve, but go
we
ahead.
We are crossing.
You're buffering
hard.
You can now
get hilarious subtitles on Alongside Night for free.
Yeah, right. Which I've decided are footnotes in a movie. So, I was pretty much quoting verbatim some old dope fiend I heard at an NA meeting when I was recently. There were two things that happened in NA that made me stay. Like, I literally kicked dope in meetings. Okay, three things. So
The first NA meeting I went to was at a recovery facility, but they let people from the outside come in, and I lived two blocks away, and I was so dope sick, and I had no money for the bus, so it was the only meeting I could get to. I would, like, you know, it was summer, and I'd put on a winter coat and shuffle up the street. I was so sick, and I was sitting in this meeting kicking dope. I was literally the only white person in this meeting, and nobody had any recovery in this meeting. They were all brand new, and they didn't understand, like, you know, you tell your story and then you tell some redemption, you know, then you tell what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, you know, three act format with redemption and a third act, which is how I learned to do radio, was sitting at NA meetings. And it's like a movie, and it's better than a movie, and there's free coffee, cheaper than a movie, and there's free coffee. So
take notes, kids.
I'm the only white guy in this meeting. I'm the only guy who's dope sick in this meeting. Everyone else is, like, you know, a month sober and there by order of the court and happy because they're so, you know, oh, I'm sober. But they thought you just tell dope stories, and they didn't have any redemption. They, you know, they only told the first act, like, and they tried to one-upmanship each other. Like, I was hitting people over the head with a brick. I'd sold my gun a long time ago. I didn't have a gun anymore, so I couldn't even afford a knife. So I just picked up a rock and hit people over the head for their wallet, you know. And I was like, okay, so that's what you do. And they actually, like, I wasn't willing to talk, and they pointed at me and said, well, you're new here. We've seen you a couple nights in a row. What do you got to say? Well, I remember one time I was, me and this girl I was dating, we were bored, so we went over to the Catholic church and got some holy water and took it home and mixed it up and shot some dope with it. And, like, what? This dude that was sitting next to me, who had just talked about murdering a guy, like moved away from me and said, damn, like, I was scaring the black people with that story, man. And these were killers. These were stone cold murderers and people who hit people over the head with a brick. Okay, that was one thing. The second thing, and this was so like a movie, like, I finally, after about a week, I could walk to another meeting a block away that was, like, you know, not all crazy black gangster murderers. And, you know, some people that had some recovery at this other meeting. And there was this, like, the first day I went in, everyone was talking about, and this was like, I had about 2 weeks clean. So I was kind of like sort of done kicking. I could sleep 2 or 3 hours a night. I was feeling a little better. I could eat without throwing up a little bit. And they were talking about this guy who, like, everybody loved in this meeting. And he was dying of hepatitis C. And they'd just come back from visiting him in the hospital, and he was dying. And 2 days later, I went to the meeting, and they just come back from watching him die. And that had been his 1 year clean day. And they'd brought him his 1 year chip and had a meeting in his room, placed the chip in his hand, and he died refusing morphine with a smile on his face. And I was weeping. I was like weeping hearing this in the meeting with tears rolling down my face, into my shirt, down my chest, onto my stomach. I mean, it was like the end of a movie. It's like, you can't write that stuff. And this really happened. It blew my mind. So wow. I stuck around. Yeah. And then the third thing was this guy who, this white guy, he sounded black. He's like, I first shot dope in 1936 and it was opium. And we just cut open a vein and shoved it in there. I was like, dude, we're not worthy. I was like, you know, it's like when they meet Alice Cooper on, what's that movie, Jeremy? Yeah.
What?
You guys know. We're not worthy. Wheelie, wheelie,
wheelie. Oh, Wayne's World.
Yeah. It was like that.
Yeah.
And then I went, and then there was this girl I knew who was, like, much younger and, like, fresher faced than me. She was like 18 and she looked like 15. She was really young looking and she looked pretty good. And I was at this biker meeting with her where, like, everybody was old and crusty and bikers. And one of them said to her at the break, went up to her and said, what happened to you, little girl? Did you do a bong hit and fall off your skateboard?
Yes.
But it was like, no, man, she'd, like, been selling her body, but just, you know, not, she got clean pretty quick. So, and then she told me a story about getting finger banged by Anthony Kiedis, and he's in the hospital. So we got to mention him and say, I hope you get over your stomach flu, dude. And I'm glad you finger banged.
Hope you
live
to finger bang another day.
Did you say that at a, oh, at a meeting though, he finger banged her in the bathroom of a meeting.
I guess so. Right.
So
I bet you it's one of those. I bet you it's one of those things where you're allowed to use it as a noun but not a verb. I'd be like, oh, he went to go collect a finger bang.
Yeah. Well, he got his 1 year. He got his 1 year finger bang. This is back in his early recovery when he was relapsing.
His 1 year finger banging chip?
Yeah, I think he's got like his 10 year finger bang now. Finger bang, yeah. It's when you make a gun out of your finger and go pew pew like that.
That's like the anniversary games in the Hunger Games. Like every so years finger bang, it becomes special.
Yeah. So
they do something even larger.
This is a long way of saying that old dope fiend from 1936 taught me the term counting buttons for nodding on heroin. And Steve loves that term. Like, you know, when someone's got their head down.
And Steve lives in a neighborhood where he has frequent cause to deploy said term.
Oh, you took a picture on the train today or the bus of a guy who like,
train, yeah.
It's beyond counting buttons. He's counting shoelace eyelets, man. It looks like, you know, on the thing they had
his head
on the plane,
is between his knees. Yeah.
Of like, you know, cabin decompression.
For a crash.
Please
yeah.
prepare. Yeah. Yeah, and then you did, didn't you? Was that, did you shoot that video of that woman like doing that standing up, doing some Kensington Avenue yoga the other day?
Yeah, I shot the video of the woman doing Kensington Avenue yoga. And then for those of you who follow me on Twitter at Miller Twice, you also got to hear the 8 a.m. No, and we're get the F out my house, breakup. Where a man accused a woman of stealing something from him, so she responded by throwing all his possessions out of the window, like you see in the
that
movie.
Sound,
oh, sweet.
That sound is the Kensington equivalent of the Muslim call to prayer.
Yep.
You know, it's every 8 morning. At 8 a.m.
Fight of the day.
First fight of the day. And it's a little later, though. I mean, I think the first call to prayer is at sunup, but Kensington gets a late start. So
yeah. It gets late real early out here.
So someone asked me today if I was in the band Flipper. I posted this picture from me, like back when I was young and thin and sexy and in a rock and roll band playing bass. And someone's like, were you in Flipper? And I was like, no, but our first gig, Bomb's first gig, was warming up for them. But, so they were junkies, and the first dope sick person I ever met was Bruce Luce, stumbling up the street in San Francisco in the middle of the night, coming out of the fog, wearing a trench coat in the summer. And he's like, hey, Michael, you want to buy some bass equipment? And he looked all like a zombie. He was really, and I was like, no, but I was just honored that he knew my name. I was like, my idol knows my name because he's trying to sell me all his gear, like right now. But yeah. We're going to the darn market, but yeah. But he once got evicted and handed his keys to a crackhead who asked him for money.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Busy squawking to do Real Talk Radio. We are back on the Freedom Fiends. It is I, the bolo-tied cowboy of the night, Steve Miller, here with Kensington vet Jeremy Hengler and DC Lisa DeLascio. And wow, what an awful thing to call somebody.
I know, like, thanks a lot.
I would rather be called Detroit Lisa than DC Lisa. Speaking of Detroit, there was something that very liber triggered me today that I wish to discuss here on the program. So on World Star Hip Hop, a great source for news. I get a goodly amount of my news from World Star Hip Hop. So I would have to say that I'm maybe not a foreign policy expert, but I've definitely witnessed a lot of fights in McDonald's and things of that nature, because people who are familiar with World Star Hip Hop know that it is a website primarily focused on people fighting in the ghetto.
Yes.
And when a fight breaks out in the ghetto, and I can testify to this as a former seventh grade teacher in the Philadelphia public school system, when a fight breaks out, it is customary for someone, if someone starts recording, to start to begin shouting "World Star" in the background. And should you go on YouTube and search World Star, it'll be a bunch of fight videos. And World Star had a news product today that Facebook's Face Beef's algorithms put directly into my line of vision. And oh man, was I liver triggered. So it seems there is a 9-year-old who had this entrepreneurial idea where he lived in a neighborhood where the corner stores will sell you these miniature Ziploc bags that are like the size of about a postage stamp. And they could be for any purpose, but it's generally recognized that they're for weed. And, you know, you put like, I don't know, $5, $10, whatever, worth of marijuana in them, and then you sell them. And this kid goes to the corner store and purchases a bunch of these bags and buys a large bag of hot Cheetos. And then puts about 3 to 5 Cheetos in every dime bag, zips it up, and starts selling them for 25 cents a piece to his classmates. And the teachers are horrified and stop him.
Oh.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And the people on the internet were awful, too, because they're like, oh, well, that's a future dope dealer. You know what? When I was 12, I dealt pogs to the younger kids in the neighborhood. You know what I don't do now? Deal pogs. You know what I wish I could do? Deal pogs.
Yeah, seriously, the entrepreneurial spirit on that kid, that's amazing.
The picture is beautiful. Yeah.
The
hashtag was the hustle.
Fiend phone.
Oh. Yeah, I saw that. Did Lisa, you back?
Yeah, I got droned. Wow.
Oh, okay. Oh snap.
It's because I said I was in D.C.
Were you selling Cheetos? They decided that you were a hardened drug dealer in the making.
I was actually looking at the picture on your Facebook page.
Yeah,
there's a connection here.
And people were like, where are the parents? I'm like, yo, if there aren't any parents, this is the one kid I would consider adopting. Like, I don't think I'm a great father figure, but this kid and I could go places together.
Seriously, yeah, it's pretty creative. Like, I like it.
The assumptions people make, it's so ridiculous. I mean, come on, he's hustling. Happened. It's great. It's so, yeah, exactly. But it stuff like this does happen, though, especially in the unschooling. Especially, it actually happens a lot in the unschooling movement, which is a great thing that kids that age actually are starting businesses and selling stuff like that. Sometimes future con artists start out that way, but you know, either way, it's still
that's
itself
where
is
you
not
need
doing
the
anything
guidance
wrong.
Of an adult. That's where you that's where you need an adult to come by to make sure that we don't have like another Tony Styles in the making here.
Like, see, I could envision it. See, in Lib Pair, I could see a Big Brothers Big Sisters taking on a whole new role, to an organization like that taking a whole new role and guiding young children like this away from selling drugs and continuing to sell Cheetos and bigger and better things, maybe.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, they just need the guidance.
Although, shouts to my local friend, I believe it was Joseph Feeney, who said, I just hope that when they searched his locker, they didn't find a squirt gun. Because then you would have had the drug charge and the gun charge together.
Oh, God. That'd be horrible.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Although in this day and age, it's not that far-fetched, which is a scary thing.
Oh, and then you also have internet commenters saying he should be charged as an adult for drug dealing. Because Cheetos.
Oh, my God.
Because Cheetos. Because Cheetos. Also black kid. But, you know, Cheetos.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Do you want
make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government license is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
What happens in Afghanistan gets you shot. That's the new tourism ad for Afghanistan. Coming to FiendFest Somalia. Because in anarchist Somalia, Hotel Mogadishu. So, I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyway. No, I'm not apologizing for that. I'm gonna own it. Eddie Hoodle. We're back. We got Cheetos for sale for 25 cents. They're hot. This was the other part of the aspect of the story that I missed, was that they were hot Cheetos.
Yes.
So you only need like a couple to like get a good amount of flavor. So this is actually genius marketing on this 9-year-old's part. And I would imagine him like standing around at recess being like, yo, I got that fire. I got that fire.
You know what? This
sprinkling some cayenne into like every individual bag to make it hotter than the competition's 25 cent bags.
Oh, man, you got to give the people what they want.
The you sad cut thing this is with is hot popcorn.
I could so see the really like radical parents that actually think that like this like literally will lead to him doing drugs like the crazy people out there, like thinking that they're already doing this, like somehow people, you know, kids are like,
well, how many, grinding how this many up
and snorting it and
yo, yeah, exactly. How many GMO Cheetos people would contend that they are drugs?
Oh yeah, true. Well, I mean, yeah, okay, they're definitely not the greatest thing for you, but yeah, I don't know about drugs, but well, it's
do you think that he ever had a customer who like took out a razor blade and wanted to cut open one of the bags and like put his finger up to it and well, like, no, put it on his tongue to test the heat because he didn't want to be sold like, you know, something
that like hot fries
some
or something.
Kool-Aid power.
You take the razor blade, you just scrape a little bit of the cheese stuff off, and then you rub it on your gums and
yeah, if they go totally hot. Then you know it's the legit product, and you hand over your quarter.
If you're begging for a cup of water pretty soon, you know, like, all right,
25
we're good.
Cents
we're good here.
They're taking this kid's business away from him.
Man, he's
learning hard early.
Yeah, if by some
people are cutting their stuff with cinnamon and trying to you know.
Listen, kid, if you're listening to if your parents got a MP3 player and you're somehow hearing this show, I just want you to know that if you run away and run to Philadelphia, you could find either myself or a man named James Babb, and just find us and
just find us.
Everything will be all right.
Oh man.
Just run away. Like if they you don't hate you, like your business will be protected here.
and we have ready access to bags. Like every corner store here sells bags. And if you're an adorable kid, like I think you might be, like if you, you clearly had the charm to sell three Cheetos for 25 cents. Like you could charm these old Puerto Rican women into giving you a lower price at the corner store on 100 dick bags. Easy. You could negotiate that down. You know, I'll help you out. Like, we'll run some advanced sales metrics. I'll teach you how to run a sports book so that you, you know, like kids come to you for Cheetos and then you also offer them the lines on that night's NBA action. Teach you how to balance a sports book. We could learn about parlays, have some adorable father son moments. You can hate country music. It'll be great.
See, that's real world experience that, you know. How's he ever going to get that in a school?
Unparenting.
I like it. Unparenting.
Well, deep parenting. Oh, here we go. Ball of new territory. Yep.
Oh, no. No, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
He who must not be donated to.
Oh, man. Oh, no, there's a hashtag I can get behind.
And certainly not for $2, I'll tell you that much.
No. No, it's got to be at least three, otherwise it's worthy.
I once had a comedian put me on this Bringer show. For those of you who don't know what a Bringer show is, a Bringer show is a show that comedians do, and you are on the show conditionally as a condition of you bringing a certain number of people to be in the audience, and that's how they fill an audience for the show. And a lot of New York comedy clubs will do, God, 5, 6, 7 Bringer shows a week, so people can say that they were on a stage at Caroline's or Stand Up New York or whatever. But it's a Bringer, and there's a drink minimum, and everybody pays a bunch of money to hear you tell jokes for a bunch of minutes. And I get put on the bill for this Bringer show that I never agreed to do. And I see it promoted like all over the place that, you know, we've got Steve Miller and this other comedian, Steve Slaughter. Steve, if you're out there, I bless your grind. I talked to Steve, and Steve's like, well, they never told me about doing a Bringer show. And then we get this angry email about how we haven't gotten anybody to buy tickets for this show yet.
That you don't know about.
Yeah, that we had absolutely no knowledge of and never consented to do. And
how dare you pull off these crazy people?
Yeah. Then he sent three more angry emails, and then I never did the show, and then I never heard from him again. And then there was a neighboring scandal like a couple months later because he had this big show and said he was going to pay a bunch of people, and shock of shocks, didn't. And yep. Mm. So that
dodged a bullet there, huh?
Comedy blockchain. It comes out randomly through Facebook posts and Libertarian Radio. All right. Michael Dean said he was gonna like peace out for the show and might come into furry later, but that didn't mean he was gonna stop blowing up my Twitter. I'll tell you what, like that you hear in the background, like every second, him, like, yeah, like liking or yeah, here's out of context fiends. Hey kids, run away from home and come to Philly to live with me or James.
Kids.
What is it? Why do I have a
that wasn't to kids?
Targeted?
That was to one specific kid.
I don't know if that actually sounds better out of context or not, though.
Yeah, I know. Right.
All other children are on a case by case basis. I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, individualism. I guess it does make sense.
Individualism.
But the sad thing about, I mean, you know, I was joking about it a little bit, but it really is sad that, you know, I mean, aside the fact that they're just harassing him, but like whether or not he's actually doing this, like the idea of just being an entrepreneur at that age is like, I mean, you said it, the comments were just people just like freaking out about this because they don't understand that. But
Right.
Like, why not? There's nothing like wrong with
what,
it. Like,
okay. So what if he had gone to, let's say, Sam's Club or like a Costco or BJ's or something like that and bought, you know, a 48 pack of, say, Reese's peanut butter cups and was reselling them for less than the store sold for. Let's say he sells them for 75 cents and like, but he pays 50 cents. So like he's making the same quarter, but it's off the sale of full-fledged candy bars. Are they going to harass him as much? Probably not. It's because they don't like the bags it's in, which it's because they don't like the bags he's in, and a part of it is because he's black. I'm sorry, like, you're not going to get me to not believe that. That if a white kid does the exact same thing, that everybody doesn't freak out.
White
kids probably aren't going to have same access to the bags though. So
that depends. I'm not saying that there isn't. I'm sure there's a very good chance that there is something like that involved. But even I've seen stuff like this get stopped in what's considered more affluent areas, like in the suburbs out here where I live. Like, I've seen stuff like that stopped by, you know, kids 9, 10, 11, 12 years old in the public's, you know, the government schools, where just any selling anything like that, they freak out. And for the same reasons, they just, even if
it's the baggies aren't involved, to sell crap for them all the time.
Yes, because it's through them.
Right.
Yeah, they turn them into a little Amway salesman. You know, that's what it used to be. I remember back when I was in school, they had us hawking things every, like, you know, three, four times a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, like wrapping paper and popcorn and like candy bars.
Magazines, yeah.
Or
junky ornaments, like just like anything they could think of.
Yeah, and the stuff they sell you is like utter crap in those fundraisers. It's never anything of quality. The only one that's any good is the Girl Scout cookies. Girl Scout cookies are amazing.
I have issues with the Girl Scouts and what they actually represent and stuff, but I know they are so good. You give me a box of Samoas and they're gone.
They don't even taste like abortion.
Wait, what's your beef with the girls?
Do you think it's a lesbian training coven?
All of that stuff. It's all horrible. It's all horrible.
I was a Girl Scout and I turned out fine.
Don't get me started on that defense. But I know how good they are. I can't have them around though, because that's one of those things I literally can't stop eating. I will finish the entire box.
Is it that it's like so collectivist and like patriot-y?
They put those little girls to work. And they profit so much money off of them.
They do. It's like there's pressure too.
Yeah.
I sold 400 boxes of cookies. How many did you sell? 150, because my dad's not allowed to sell them at work or whatever. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I know a lot of parents end up helping out, but I know plenty of kids that were determined to do it on their own, and they're the ones out there hustling, and if they fall short, they get nothing but all the profits that the Girl Scouts reap, and they're the same people that would turn around and decry child labor with anybody else.
Yeah.
It's just hypocritical, but like I said, the cookies are delicious. I can't deny that. Samoas and Thin Mints are like, you know, to die for. I will say that.
Yeah, my favorites too. Oh my gosh. But the boxes are getting smaller and smaller and there's less and less in them. But the prices keep going up too. That's one of my complaints.
I haven't bought them in years, so I don't actually know. They were like still $2.50 a box like the last time I bought them.
They sell them at Sixers games. And,
really?
So I'll watch like crappy basketball and eat my Girl Scout cookie. That's how we roll in Philadelphia. And that'll be your life, future son or daughter that likes to sell Nick bags full of Cheetos. And we'll have more after this trip to the market.
Bye. You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Coming back from the break, talking about how in pharmacies in Philadelphia, you could often find a fat, hot, often Asian pharmacist.
Really?
Anyway.
What a... So now we know the reason why.
So the next time you're going and replenishing your Cheeto supply,
your Cheeto supply.
they don't sell the bags at CVS or Rite Aid or any place like that. You have to go to a bodegas. Got to be a bodega or surprisingly laundromats. And you could get a good
laundromats. Really?
That's interesting. Yeah, you could get a good bootleg movie at a laundromat too, and. Bless those people. I mean, you want to talk about people on the front of fighting the IP folk. It's people that wake up in the morning, get on the torrent after torrenting the fiends all night, go download a bunch of movies, burn them, and then get out there on the streets, and then they head to every laundromat in Kensington, approaching people in broken English, asking them if they would like to buy any of the movies. And little pro tip for you, if you're doing laundry in the ghetto for the first time and someone approaches you, these people often have porn, and they don't just advertise it, but they've got it, like, in their bag. So, like, if you're like, yo, man, this is good, but, like, do you have any, you got anything with, like, big fat Puerto Rican women in it? They'll be like, oh yeah, don't reach into the bag.
Is that the code?
That's not the code, but like, you know, whatever you're into. No. Normally not too specialized. They normally, like, they don't have gay porn or anything like that. But like, if you've got a penchant for larger women, they generally have your back.
Well, see, that I understand. We even have that here on Long Island. That's actually common in the laundromats around here.
Yeah, being a bootleg man is a pretty competitive market, though. And you're not only competing with the other bootleg men in the market, but you're also, of course, competing with the internet, because you know a lot of these people that are buying the bootlegs are sapping enough that they can go to the very same websites that you're getting these John Johns from, and. You know, that whereby they can eliminate the middleman that is you. So it's a rough trade in a lot of sense. And selling syringes that you get from a needle exchange to dope addicts is sometimes seen as a better job, although the two are generally similar. in terms of like street jobs, if you've like got like a bunch of child support that you got to pay or what have you, that's generally one of the better jobs to have. Being a works man. Selling bootlegs, selling body oils, getting a gallon of like some kind of incense, and then just walking around. You can put yourself in Muslim garb even if you're not Muslim. I've known a couple dudes who weren't Muslim, but like were going car to car on the train selling body oils, and they very rarely stop at the white people and ask if they want to buy body oils. And there was a point in my life where if anybody ever asked me if I wanted to buy body oils, I would go ahead and buy one, like, just because. They ask, but then you get tired of doing that after a while, and you just become a weary urban cowboy in a bolo tie, and you just want to be left alone on the train when people are sitting there counting their buttons and doing things like that. Dan, they're bigger buttons, am I right?
Absolutely.
They sell vials of those body oils and incense on the metro in around here in DC.
What do they run? Did you ever stop and ask them?
I haven't asked, but the next weekend, if I go, I'll be sure to check some prices for you.
The wholesaler is up here.
If I can get a deal, yeah.
So a lot of them start their day around here, because I'll come up to the wholesaler, and you can buy them by the gallon.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. I think they're like about 30 a gallon or so. And from that, you can get, I mean, how much is one of those things? Like an ounce, and how many ounces are in a gallon? Couple
128.
Yeah, a couple hundred. Here I am being quoted by Out of Context Fiends again. Selling syringes is a better job being a works man. Because remember, folks, it is by grace you have been saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. That's in the Bible, and I'm not even kidding.
Career advice for kids tonight.
Yep.
Well, I just thought I'm young.
Yeah. Counting bigger buttons. Freedom Fiends. More to come in hour two.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
The Twitter.
Yeah.
Not on the Twitter.
Just on the Twitter.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the artificial, in the Alpha Centauri region. I'm all right tonight. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a PIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at pipcot.org. So we are back for the second hour. This is Jeremy with Steve Miller, Lisa DeLascio. How you guys doing?
Hey.
Oh, pretty good.
Distracted, you know, by these ducks out of my window.
Keeping our memes dank.
Figuring out where to drop them.
Yeah.
I try to keep my
there was discussion. Dank. So during the break, I made a meme, and I thought it was like a 10 out of 10 meme, and then I made it, and I realized it's like a 7 out of 10 meme, which is fine.
It's passable.
Yeah, it's passable. Like, it's not really a meme befitting. Like if it were a bolo tie, like, it wouldn't have any stones or silver in it. You know,
just basic.
Yeah. Nothing real. Nothing all that great. But I'll throw. Do I throw this on the Book of Feces or do I throw this on Twitter?
Why not both?
Michael W. Dean's been blowing. No, Michael W. Dean's bots have been blowing me up on Twitter.
Yes. So, bots.
Yeah, he's got an army of bots, and they like quote me out of context. And that's how I killed a man back when I was shooting opium back in 1936. So, all right, that meme has officially been dropped to Twitter. It is a picture of the offending Cheetos in the Nick bags, and it says Google voluntarism.
Nice.
That is beautiful.
It's for the like children. Like Wu-Tang, Freedom Fiends is for the children.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Wu-Tang, Freedom Fiends, I think.
Yeah. Wu-Tang, I don't think my
children. You're right over there? Good God.
Either.
Hi, Lisa.
Yeah. Lisa's
being invaded by her ducks are stalking her again.
So. They are. They're so loud. They're like right outside the window. I don't know.
You're inside, right? That's the whole
Ever
thing.
Since the Duck Empress thing, it's gotten really bad around here. It's seriously.
We've had cucks outside my window ever since the election. It's been really bad. Bernie.
I'll take the ducks.
You ever been on Ride the Ducks? You know what this is?
I'm afraid to ask. Please tell me.
A couple cities have them, mainly like waterfront cities. And it's an amphibious tour where it's got a boat component, and then it's street legal as well. You drive around, and they used to give you these like wacky quack things, right? up until the year 20, 2011, I believe it was. It was the year 2011. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And the Ride the Ducks tour in Philadelphia was leaving. And they have all these people with these little noisemakers that look like a duck bill. And they make a duck noise. And they called them Wacky Quackers. And the first time I saw the lanyard around it that said Wacky Quacker, I thought it said Wacky Quaker, and I'm like, is there like a convention of like Wacky Quakers? Because that would be phenomenal. But no, it's like Wacky
comics
Quacker.
And mimes
and it was just this annoying like noisemaker. And lo and behold, they're on the sea, what have you, and there's an engine failure on the boat. And the people on the boat decide, all right, well, why don't we, like, use this Wacky Quacker and try to get help that way? So they don't hear the warning from this oncoming ship, and they get hit by this ship.
Oh, and, no.
And two tourists from Eastern Europe die. I think they're from Macedonia. And they drown in the river, and there's a huge lawsuit, and... they have to shut down for like the remainder of the season. And the big joke among the tour guides, because all the other tour guides hated Ride the Ducks, and the joke about the joke among the other tour guides was like, hey, if it took two Estonians to close them down for one summer, like, can we drown 10 Bolivians in the river and shut them down permanently?
Oh god.
Oh no. Oh man.
Oh, that's horrible.
But yeah.
But we're laughing.
Yeah, well,
they were the earliest Trump supporters. The other tour guides.
See, I don't.
How many deaths of people from other countries will necessitate something that I will find a little less annoying? You know. How many other people have to die to protect my feels? That's the question of modern politics. How many people do you want killed for your feels?
Yeah. How many are you okay with?
How
many are justified?
Yeah. And like how willing are you to admit you're wrong? Like if you show me evidence that I'm wrong, like I don't care. Like because here's the thing, I can always fall back on I'm a comedian. And I had an interview the other day on Dissociation Nation and Paul Gordon Collier, I bless your grind, and he grilled me on Lincoln a little bit. And he sort of won the argument, I would say. And like he kind of made it sound like there's actually a Lincoln, but I don't believe that.
Oh,
and
no.
Like all the evidence like doesn't point that way. But evidence being defined as like things I see as evidence. So
completely objective, of course.
Like while I still know there's not a Lincoln, like I could definitely see why somebody could like listen to that Dissociation Nation episode and be like
and be convinced.
This fellow is a fool and a jester. And surely he jests of his a-Lincolnist beliefs, but
a-Lincolnist.
But like Honest Abe, that's not the case.
I'm gonna have to listen to that. I'm very curious. I had my good kids here show. Friday night, and so
you've both been on that show. I learned that I was one of the Latter-day Fiends to appear on said program.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Well, apparently they had Lou on a bunch of times, and then
he's a fan favorite.
Yes.
He's a fan favorite at the Freedom Fiends. Anytime I talk to somebody who listens to the Fiends, they always talk about how much they like it when Lou's on.
Yeah.
He's got a dry sense of humor.
I know. I'm biased. All.
Well, heck, he's a favorite on my other show, The Seeds of Liberty. He's been on there twice, too. He actually has the record for our longest show. He went like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
I remember that.
Filibuster fiend.
Bashing Ron Paul as a not great man. It was wonderful.
Oh, heavens to Betsy, the horror.
So
that's downright. That's, yeah.
That's blasphemy.
Yeah, that's.
Among certain circles.
But yeah, I have to go.
Circle jerks, babe.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I don't live my life in echo chambers. I don't know what you're talking about.
yeah.
Most of my life spent with just me and the dog, so I guess it's technically an echo chamber, although they don't really, you know, I always say that they're the best listeners, but they're horrible conversationalists.
Yeah, do they have an opinion on Ron Paul?
No, I don't think so.
Not really? No.
No, I don't, they could care less.
It's kind of nice.
Give them treats, give them exercise. Nice. Yeah. Really, it really would be sometimes.
God, is there anything worse? People have an opinion on it. Yeah, people try to rope you into conversations about the election. It is absolutely awful.
Oh, it's horrible.
That's why I don't leave the house.
Some lady at the grocery store was like trying to talk to me about how terrible Trump was, like while I was trying to pick out lemon bar mixes the other day. And I was just not having it. I'm like, yo, lady, like I don't disagree with you, but like if you're not helping me get lemon bars right now, you're part of the problem. And like,
you're part of
I was like, at least conversationally, like to build a wall between myself and
It's true though, like what, like people, like it's so funny, like I notice it, you know. I stop normally, like out on my, you know, I'm out during the day just driving around walking dogs and stuff, and I'll stop at a 7-Eleven fairly regularly if I need a drink, and people never talk to, you know, people always have their app down.
Get the app.
What, the 7-Eleven app?
Yep.
No, I do not, actually. I probably
Could. Yeah.
What do you get from it?
Every seventh drink is free.
Oh, wow. Look at that. See?
Little tip for the Fiends listener out there, little money-saving tip. If you're like Jeffrey Tucker and you like McDonald's, or if you're like me and you like going to the Kensington McDonald's so that you could watch people fight over child support, absolutely you should get the McDonald's app. Because so McDonald's does this thing where if you have a Major League Baseball team in your city and the team in your town hits a home run that day, the next day you get a free McDouble. And teams hit home runs all the time,
quite often.
Like,
yeah,
it's like a majority of games, like there's some, you know,
yeah, usually at run. Least more than more yeah. than that more well more, well more than yeah, I can't even speak again, I can't speak tonight. Just stop.
Yeah.
Definitely more than half is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, like it is it's going to be a summer full of free McDoubles if you just heed my fiendly advice. get the McDoubles.
See, that's great though. I didn't know that, yeah. Which is actually it's great and it's horrible.
Out of context, Fiends just quoted Lisa as ha 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 ha.
that's about right.
Laughing Sal.
I was going to say about the McDoubles, that's great and horrible too, because I didn't know that, and I try to avoid McDonald's, but whenever I do, I try to compensate by saying, I'm not being that bad because I just ordered two McDoubles, and I won't get fries, and I'll be good.
Yeah, this will keep you to one McDouble, because that's all that's free.
Exactly, but that's just the excuse to go there, and then I'll justify it by, well, I'm getting one for free, so I can pay for one. It's not that big a deal. They're only $1.59 still.
Oh, see, that's how they get you.
I know.
You go in there, you get your free McDonald's. And the other thing about the McDonald's app, and this is, I don't want to put this on blast too much, so this is just between you, me, and Fiends listeners, and I'd like it if you didn't, like, go spreading this on social media, especially.
I will not share this. Yeah. I will not share this on all my feeds. Don't worry.
Don't go sharing this. But their punch card for their McCafe drinks, right? So it's five punches, unlike 7-Eleven, which is seven punches, and then you get a free beverage. But the free beverage is any McCafe beverage of any size. So if you want like a $5 like large mocha, the world's your oyster, and all you have to get is like four or five small coffees beforehand.
Wow. So,
yeah.
This is if you have the app?
Yep, get the app. I'm telling you. Get the McDonald's app.
Sold.
Technology for the win again.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Know what they say when you add, when you assume.
Yeah.
You play Nico Atsumi, kid iPhone app where you design a home for kitties. And Michael W. Dean, our thoughts and prayers are with your lung this evening. And just want you to know that now that you have Bipcat, your new feline to fulfill all your love in your feline heart, one thing you might want to look into is getting Niko Atsumi. It is a iPhone app where you create a dream world that's just nonstop kittens all the time.
Oh, gosh.
You give them toys and you take pictures and yeah. Look into that. Got all kinds of wrecks today.
See, that seems like something that would be more beneficial for him if he couldn't have Katsy. And I don't know. So. Reminds me of that. What was that little stupid little toy that they had? Like, was that the 90s?
Oh, those little Tamagotchi things?
Yes, that was it.
The little cyber pets. Yes. Yeah.
That comparison gets made a lot.
You'd star them to death.
That was the original one, I guess, huh?
Gosh, yeah. Gigapets, right?
All those things. I remember those.
I always killed mine
rapidly.
I saw a stand-up performance by Mara Wilson, who was the child actress in the 90s, who was on Mrs. Doubtfire. And she was funny.
Oh, yeah.
And her opening joke was, hey, I'm Mara Wilson. You may remember me as the daughter in Mrs. Doubtfire. And you'll have to excuse me because I just remembered that I haven't fed my Tamagotchi for the last 17 years. And like a lot of her other jokes were like similarly like 90s nostalgia themed. I was a fan. I liked the cut of her jib.
That's pretty funny. Oh man.
Yeah, we had those things all over the house. Not from me because I'm old. You know, from my child, my daughter.
The wee
like
ones.
You guys age or something.
Oh yeah.
Whatever.
I think I just passed that, but like I remember my sister and my cousins having it, and then I of course had to insist try to you know prove that I could have mine out survive theirs, so I went and got one. And
then what are you doing this weekend? It. Go to the shooting range. Who you go to the shooting range with? My stepdad. Who's your stepdad? Lusander Fien.
What?
It's a conversation that might one day happen somewhere. Yeah, we're gonna watch a DVD of Gun Training and Non-Aggression Principle. Oh yeah, I knew that would happen. Did you hear that beep? Hashtag Tamagotchi vet. Yeah, there we go.
Tamagotchi vet. That's great.
I'm gonna click on that hashtag and see if it comes up with anything. Nah, nothing.
No, don't.
I'm gonna go see if there's a market for that.
A fruitless.
I am looking to get out of the pet sitting industry. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's gonna get me a criminal pay.
What are you looking to get into?
I don't know. That's the problem. I want to get out of New York, and that means closing the business. And I could try starting another one somewhere else, but it would just be too much.
Buy a yak.
I had talked to Nick about this at one point, and he said that if I wasn't going to do yaks, the other thing that is actually tends to be kind of lucrative is reindeer.
Really?
Yeah.
Reindeer.
Yeah, that's what he told me, at least. I thought that was really kind of interesting because I was like, I could do yaks, but maybe I'll be different. I don't want to, like, you know, rip you off completely. maybe I can do reindeer.
Wow.
So, but again, I have to get out of here and get a place that I can get set up to do that already.
Listen, I just want to preemptively apologize. Like, if you get trampled by a bunch of reindeer, like, at the next year's Fiends Christmas special, like I am right in the Jeremy got run over by a reindeer song.
I would expect nothing less, and I would actually, I would be disappointed and find some way to haunt you from the grave if you did not. Because I would deserve that. Every stanza of that song.
Walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You may say there's no anarcho-abolitionists, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Oh, man. Well, you know, these are the risks you take with these type of endeavors. Wait,
but you become, I'm a lowly reindeer farmer from Long Island.
Listen,
Long Island reindeer farmer.
Listen, if Yak Boy can survive getting tossed by a yak, I think I can handle a couple of reindeer.
Yeah, I can handle a 2-foot fall from a reindeer.
You should get...
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Freedom Fiends, back with you here on a Monday morning.
Oh, Monday.
Or for some of you, it could be a late Saturday, a Sunday night. But regardless, we are here with you. We bless your grind. We're back. So, what else is happening in the world, folks? I wanted to talk about reindeer. So I brought up the Wikipedia page for reindeer. And it looks like you might have to move to Canada, Jeremy, because it seems that the ideal... you know, it might extend down into New York, but the map is like kind of pixelated and it's whack. You could also move to Siberia because it seems Siberia.
That sounds like excellent. A much better option. Well, if I'm comparing it to just New York, yeah, that's going to be a toss up. I think Siberia may actually, because I don't think they actually govern very much out in Siberia. They just kind of say, hey, if you can survive it, you know, more power to you type thing.
Hunting of wild reindeer and herding of semi-domesticated reindeer for meat, hides, antlers, milk, and transportation are important to several Arctic and subarctic peoples. In parts of Sapmi, reindeer pull polks. I don't know what that means. In Christmas folklore, flying reindeer are said to pull Santa Claus's sleigh. Well, that's preposterous. Anyway.
What about elk? Elk are very similar. Yeah. Well, elk similar to reindeer.
Yeah, I think they're bigger, right?
But what about farming moose?
Are they
farming
bigger?
Moose?
Moose are kind of scary. You know, moose are mean. They're mean.
Yeah, they can be. They can be very, very.
I've seen
creatures.
Warning signs to watch out for moose. Apparently, they're dumb and really mean.
What about
very
becoming
moody?
What about becoming a fisherman who lives in a cabin?
I guess that could work.
All right.
I'd have to find a place that's not heavily regulated because fishing licenses and all that garbage.
Well, I know
I can fish.
I know a guy who lives under a bridge who
lives under a bridge.
Fishes, and he doesn't have a license.
Oh,
and
the cops,
yeah, and the cops never bother him. And I gave him a bip cop button. And yeah, bless his grind too if he's listening. Yep.
Well, I'll have to put that on my list of possible options.
You know, here's the thing: when people think of my Kensington row home, they know from Twitter that there's a bunch of like Cleveland Browns crap like hanging up and around. What gets overlooked is how much it gives off the impression that I might be a prepper. Like, there's just so many canned goods all over the house, and a lot of like water, like all in the basement, and yeah. An arsenal that the size of which I won't go into specifics of, but I'm ready. but that's just life in Kensington as well. gotta be ready for water because you never know when,
Yeah,
might have a water main break because it's Philadelphia. Like it's a minor miracle. Things like streetlights work. Like because I speak to these people on the phone and like really just some of the dumbest people that you will ever talk to in your life, like, are running important departments for the city of Philadelphia. Sad. It's not sad. It's pretty much what you'd expect.
I was gonna say it's actually par for the course because it's the same way anybody I've dealt with in New York City or even here out here on Long Island in the bigger cities, in the bigger towns and cities out here. It's Well, like the higher up it goes, usually it's the IQ drops. You'd think it's the other way around, but not all the time.
People rise to their level of incompetence.
Yeah. Well, there's especially out here, there's also a lot of, nepotism and favoritism. Yeah. So people don't have to be intelligent. They just have to be able to.
Here's something that confounds me. So I heard somebody talking about God knows which politician recently. And they said, oh, well, he was a federal prosecutor. I'm like, and you think that's a good thing? Like, who wants, all right. So let's say like you're a voter, right? Like, and like you buy in and you're like, all right, like, this vote I cast is like really, really going to matter. And let's say you're like picking someone to represent you. Like, do you want the person who represents you to be the person who like goes at everything like from the perspective of we need to assign blame?
Yeah, right.
it honestly makes more sense to like put a preacher in as your representative than somebody like that.
Because
preachers, like, they're basically like, some of them are silly and like they're pretty, like a long, goodly number of them are harmless, but you definitely can't say that. Like, federal prosecutors, like, they'll put people in cages, but like they got to keep their win ratio right, and like they're some of the biggest pricks on the planet, like just like not kind people in the slightest.
They're the ones that enforce the obscene and absurd laws that people say, oh, if we could just get them off the books. They're like, no, we need to enforce them. They find ways to, like,
we can attach it.
Yeah, they're the ones that end up expanding laws by finding ways to, like the anti-terrorism laws that are used for anything but terrorists.
I liked when the guy shot up the theater, the Aurora Theater in Colorado, and the feds came in and attached a weapons charge. I was like, 227 murder charges. Like, oh, okay. Like, yo, like, in addition to those 27 life sentences, like, once you're done with those, like, we got a cool 6 months of weapons charges waiting.
Yeah, right.
Like, just to wait.
Like, did they get paid by, like, the letter on these reports or something? Like, what's the deal with that? Like, why?
There is no... You sounded like an 80s comic. I loved it for a second. What is the deal with that?
Oh, God.
What is the deal with these federal charges?
I'm that old. I've gone Seinfeld.
My wife, she takes my Visa card, and boy, does she come back with charges. Am I right, fellas? Women be shopping. That's the point. That's
women be shopping.
Women be shopping. Women be shopping. Anti-feminist.
Is that
rhetoric.
True, Lisa? You be shopping?
What? I don't like shopping. True, I don't have a girl card. I don't have a girl card at all. I don't like shopping. Card. I don't like makeup. I don't like. I don't like any skating. Of the girly stuff. Okay, I like that a lot, but
yeah.
That's about it. None of the other girly stuff. No, I can't stand malls.
Oh, I hate the mall. I hated the mall.
Yeah.
Yes, me too.
It's like just a shrine to being an a-hole in my town. Like sold the lifestyle that like all the kids that were like jerks and like that like just absolutely loved like the whole like high school suburban Cleveland like crappy lifestyle, like in the like like poo lords and yep, and like they would all hang out in like huge groups, like being irritating teenagers,
yeah.
Some of them grew out of it, some of them are still in Ohio and
still hanging out there,
married to each other and outbreeding the rest of us, am I right?
that's the same thing here. Unfortunately, I haven't gone too far from where I finished up. Well, where I finally dropped out of high school. But I'm only a couple of towns away from there, so I still see the same people, a bunch of the same people that are still there and have just started breeding.
I mentioned the movie Idiocracy recently, and somebody accused me of being pro-eugenics. And I said, I am...
What a leap. What?
Yeah, well, because it the whole argument in Idiocracy is, like, you have bad people in the gene pool. That's why society gets this bad. So, therefore, we need to clean the gene pool, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is, like, again, like, kind of a leap. But, like, this person said I was pro-eugenics, and I'm like, that's absolute lunacy. Like, I'm not pro-eugenics. I'm not even amateur eugenics.
<We're>, I'm waiting for the little Twitter notification.
Yeah.
Intermediate.
Out of context fiends.
We're pro-eugenics.
I was actually having a conversation with a couple of friends of mine today about eugenics, because they actually brought up, they were talking about transhumanism and the idea of being able to fix all this stuff. And for some reason, it just triggered an idea of eugenics. I'm like, isn't that kind of like eugenics? Because, like, you're you know, now you're just controlling what happens to people. And you can, I mean, I know there's other applications for it, but it could also be, you know, corrupted. Because I don't think eugenics in general, like, the idea of it was necessarily, like, it could be a neutral idea, but it was obviously co-opted by a lot of really bad people.
Jeremy, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you a story. It was the year 2005. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I was a young teacher in the Philadelphia public school system. There was a DJ in the Philly gay bar scene at the time. His name was Eugene Park, which is the name of every fifth Korean man ever. And his DJ name was DJ Eugenics with two X's.
Oh, God, no.
And I fell over laughing the first time he told me that this was his name.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
DJ Eugenics.
It plays like all Nazi songs.
He was all the
songs
you.
Are in German. Yeah.
Scratching the Rammstein covers and stuff, but yeah, no. But no, the whole idea of, you know, any, I don't know, I guess that's my fear, you know, me being paranoid and fearful of technology in the future. Like, it's wonderful to be able to do all these things, but then what if somebody wants to do more with it?
You can... I also performed with a comedian named Syphilis P.
No.
Yeah, no. The letter P, like, for, yeah, first name syphilis, the letter P. Yeah. Yeah. That's his grind.
Don't people...
Yeah.
Don't they have people in their lives telling them, kind of like, you know, somebody to look...
Somebody told me that they didn't want me to bless their grind anymore because
really?
I had specious Facebook likes that I had been liking. I'd been liking commentary that was too counter-signaling. And, That they wish to not have their grind blessed by me from that point forward. So it goes.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey there, this is Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakitalist. I've been rising to power in the Liberty Movement since I was 14 years old, when I first found the Freedom Fiends on my TuneIn app. I quickly became a fan, and a little over a year later, I called into Michael Dean After Dark on my crappy home phone. Michael quickly realized my brilliance, but was disappointed by my audio quality. So he picked me up as a mentee, gave me a microphone, helped me start my own podcast, and threw me on the radio show. Now I'm 17, I'm assembling a yak army, building a cult following of yakateers, and we're planning our march to Fiendfest Somalia to take over the geographic region between the Connecticut River and the Salmon Falls River to make it a libertarian paradise free of faceless boards of authority. Free Freedom Fiends buttons will be given to anybody who swears allegiance to the dear sweet yak emperor and aids our cause. This wouldn't be possible without the help of Nima Vedati and especially Michael Dean. The Freedom Fiends have made me as dear and sweet as I am today. Worms.
Back with redemption in the third act. And folks, during the break, someone tried to sell me illegal trucks on Grindr. And that's just part of Kensington living. And this leads me to an important lesson that I'd like to leave you all with this evening, and that is to use your Grindr blocks wisely. Grindr, the app, if you don't pay for it, will only give you a certain number of blocks per day. Blocks are things people can't see you anymore, you can't see them, etc. Mm-hmm. And, you know, life only gives us a certain number of blocks per day. There's only so much negativity that we naturally can throw out there, be it at the state, be it at Taylor Swift, you know, like your professors, what have you. And you've only got so much. And you got to use those blocks wisely. So like, you got to use them on the people that are trying to sell you Percocet at 2 a.m. on a Monday morning. but use those blocks and use them wisely. Because honestly, that's probably a cop. And like the last thing I would want is to be contacted by an agent of the state. Although, if I don't want to be contacted by agents of the state, particularly Republicans, Grindr is probably not a good thing to have. But whatever.
Oh.
Okay, you just flash your BIP card at him and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I had a cop hit me up one time and I sent him a bunch of pig emojis. And I went immediately to the cop folder on my meme tray.
Oh, God. And
I made it like six in before he finally blocked me. But I'm like, oh, man, I'm
Grindr.
Bip caught your Grindr. Oh, man. Yeah.
That's a new hashtag.
Yeah. Yo,
caught your Grindr.
Looking for aggressive, masculine, white man must have Freedom Fiends buttons. Bigger button, plus. But smaller buttons, okay.
Smaller buttons, okay.
Sup, man? You trying to buy a Fiendbot 3000 button? It's 1:06 in the morning on a Wednesday. Sup, man? You trying to get a black and yellow BIPCOT flag? I got it. It's covered. It's BIPCOT, it's no covered. Government license. It's good.
I just need it, man. I just need the buttons.
Yeah, I'm button sick.
Just give me a 10 bag. Just get me through.
Give me a 10 bag. Give me a 25 cent bag.
25 cent bag. One button.
Yeah. One and a half button.
It doesn't have a back. No, one of the old ones comes in separate.
One of the discontinued models.
Vintage.
Vintage.
Hey, you might be able to charge more for that.
Actually, that's true.
Yeah, vintage buttons.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Well, you think the smaller are worth more or no?
I think they will. I think they should be.
Well, market, what say you? Where's the price guide? Who are the leading experts in this field that I can go to?
I don't know, but I mean, theoretically, I guess they would be, right? Because they're going to be the ones that'll be out of print. So
yeah,
they'll be. And they've been so many of those have been passed out, and who knows what has happened to all of those. But you know, it's kind of like the last car, the last toy car I got to have, my little Volkswagen GTI 20th anniversary. It became more and more special because there was only 4,500 to begin with, and by the time I got it, I think over 1,000 of them had already been crashed. So there was only 3,500 left in existence when I got mine. So it actually went up in value for a couple of years while I owned it. It was interesting.
Awesome. It's kind of like that last bottle of opium that goes around the hobo jungle before heroin was invented.
Exactly the same.
1936.
Supply and demand, man.
That man shot heroin in 1936, and as we learned earlier tonight through Out of Context Fiends, I killed a man in 1936.
This is true.
Coincidence?
This is true. Can it really be called shooting heroin, though, when you're ripping your vein open with a razor blade?
Yikes.
Yeah.
And pouring it in? Is that how it went? Something along those lines. They don't make them like they used to.
Am I right?
Right.
Well,
have a good week, again. Freedom Fiends.
Yes.
What a start to the week.
Indeed.
Works.
I wonder what happened any other way.
Me either.